Thank you, Ruth. Good morning, everybody. Adults, I'm sorry you don't get to cut up the Argos catalogue. You'll have to do that at home if you want to do that. We asked a question as we came in this morning. Who are you? Who am I? And we've heard some of the answers. There's various ways that we can define ourselves, aren't there? Some of them are a bit more innate to who we are. We heard some of those. I'm a mother, I'm a brother, I'm a sister, I'm a child. Or we might define ourselves by more external identities. I'm a doctor, I'm a teacher, I'm a Hull City fan, I'm a musician, I'm a classic car collector, whatever it might be. And both of those elements make up our identity, who we are. But we live in a society, I think, which tends to define people by the externals. We tend to look, what's the first question when you meet somebody new? Or one of the first questions you ask them? What do you do? What do you do? And there's actually nothing wrong with that, because that is part of somebody's identity. But I think where we get a bit unhealthy in our society is we then start trying to use the answer to that question to determine how much that person is worth. Do they do something that means they're a worthwhile person? So we're defined by how much money we have, or whether we have a good job, whatever that means, or how much we might contribute to wider society. So if we can't work because of illness, or we choose not to work because we choose to look after our children, or we decide actually, you know, I could go for that promotion, I'd get more money, but I'd spend less time with the family, so actually I won't go for that. We can feel then that society looks down on us. We can feel that other people see our identity as less valuable. We just watched those adverts and I found it fascinating. Could you pick one advert out of there that actually told you anything about the products they were trying to sell you? They don't. They don't talk about the wonderful things the product does. It's all about how it's going to change you, how it's going to make you into a better person, how it's going to affect your identity. And we can very easily pick up and internalize that narrative. We can begin to think of certain external things that we have as being so central to us that we need them, that we can't do without them. It's not a new problem. Jesus warned against it 2,000 years ago. Matthew 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you treasure? Asked Jesus. What can't you do without? It's interesting, that last verse, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I think we tend to read that and we say, okay, so we look at what we treasure and that shows us where our heart really is. And that's right. But I think it's also the other way around, actually. The more we treasure things, the more they actually change who we are as a person. It changes our heart. If I allow myself to be defined by what I own or my job or my status, then over time that becomes my identity. That takes over my life. It becomes what I think about. It becomes what I lie awake at night thinking about. What I worry about. So Jesus says, think carefully about where your treasure is. Where is your identity? How do you define yourself? Because if your treasure, if your identity is in the right place, that will affect how you view these other things. But you might say, well, hold on, why are you talking about identity? If you were listening at the beginning, the topic for today's service isn't identity, it's simplicity. So why are we going on about identity? Well, I don't know what you think of if you think about simplicity, the call to a simple life. What does that bring to mind? Sitting on the top of a
mountain. Growing veggies in your garden.
Yeah, growing veggies in your garden, the good life. Or sitting on top of a mountain with nobody else around, nothing to worry about. Might be for some people. Getting rid of things, decluttering perhaps. We might think of verses a little bit further on in Matthew chapter 6 than what we just read, where Jesus says, do not worry about your life, for what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? That might be what we think of when we think of simplicity. But I want to suggest a slightly different definition of simplicity. I want to suggest that a simple life is a life where we are comfortable in our identity. A simple life is a life where we're comfortable in our identity. Because that's actually what Jesus is saying. He doesn't just say, do not worry about food and drink and clothes. He gives a positive reason why. Because your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The not worrying is rooted in the fact that God is our Father, that our identity is in Him. He goes on to say a few verses later, the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. I can stand here and tell you over and over again that things don't matter, that what you do with your life doesn't matter, that how other people view you doesn't matter. But it won't make any difference. Just me telling you that. The rich man who comes to Jesus in Matthew 19. Jesus says, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And he went away sad because he had great wealth. Not that the wealth was the problem necessarily, but it's the fact that it was his identity. He couldn't get rid of it. He couldn't give it away. He couldn't sell it because it was part of who he was. He needed that change of heart. He needed that other treasure. He needed that identity that wasn't built round that external thing that he had. We're going to think in a minute a bit more about what that might mean for us today, but we're going to watch a drama now that's going to bring home that point of our identity and where we get our identity from. At the end of this drama, Fiona's going to be involved, and she's going to do a dance to some music. If you know the music, feel free to sing, to join in. If you want to, feel free to stand up and dance as well and join in the dance with this. But let's watch this together and learn what it tells us about identity. I was trying to say much better, I think, actually, than the way I was managing to say it. And then that beautiful visual expression of the freedom that can come. We're going to move to think a little bit more practically about what this means. I'm just going to talk for literally 2-3 minutes more, and then we're going to have an opportunity for some discussion. But just to start to think about what this means in terms of what our life looks like. It's not, as I said, necessarily about not owning things, this simple life. Somebody said in our planning meetings for this, it's not about not owning things, it's about making sure they don't own us. And that's what stuck with me. Because it's impossible to get rid of things that we're relying upon to define ourselves, whatever those things are. It might be. And it might be material things or possessions. Many of us will have things that we enjoy that we might say we need. Do we really need a new car, though? Or the latest fashions or the takeaway coffees? Some of us need coffee. I'm not going to deny that. But it might be hobbies. Do you really need to be at every home game of your favourite team? Even if that's at the expense, perhaps, of your family or your sleep. Do you really need every experience? I once heard the testimony of somebody for whom actually their identity had become their country. Patriotism. To the extent that everything they did was shaped by their national identity and their national culture. It could be, as Stephen drew our attention to, church. The fact that we're here on a Sunday, our role within the church, our busyness for God. It could even be, we've already mentioned the good life, actually that in itself can become identity. The fact that we don't have lots of things and we don't have material possessions and we don't have lots of money can actually become our identity in an unhealthy way. And I'm not saying that any of all of these things are bad in and of themselves. I'm not saying you must run out there and immediately decide you're going to cancel your holidays, you're going to sell your car, you're going to get rid of everything that you have. But we have to make sure that we could, if we had to. That they haven't become so much part of how we define ourselves that we can't live without them. Because our true identity, our true definition of who we are, is, as so many of those cards said, we are a child of God. That's what Jesus points us towards. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will take care of itself. If we have that identity, that centrality of who we are, that right focus. Because then we can hold everything else in its proper perspective. And that gives us a freedom. A freedom from that anxiety of our image, our status, our worth being derived from externals, from what we own, from what we do, from what we've achieved. Because we're not defined by them. We're defined by the fact that we're loved by Almighty God. We are his children. We have a treasure stored up for eternity in him. And the more we can grasp that, the more we are free to live a truly simple life. Because the more we can grasp that, we will only have one thing that matters in life. His kingdom. His righteousness. We seek that. And as we have that as the centre of who we are, that's when we can properly enjoy all the other good things that he's given us. And the abundance of this life. So the simple life. A life that's secure in our identity as loved children of our Heavenly Father. Amen.